You guys are my best friends, two thick and thin. We've always been together, we're four of a kind, having fun all day, piling around and laughing away. Just best friends are we. I love you guys.
The next generation of radio, it's the MyMac.com podcast. Podcasting from the MyMac.com studios, it's your hosts, Tim Robertson and Chad Perry.
And we're going to have to get that changed to have your hosts, Tim Robertson, Chad Perry, and Guy Searle.
Yes, I'm here again, you lucky people.
You know, I'm really starting to enjoy the three ways, you know.
Well, I think it worked. Oh, my goodness.
Hey.
Well, no, I'm safe. I'm safe. I'm in Virginia.
Yeah, well, anyways. Boy, it's been an exciting week if you're an Apple employee, an Apple fan, or a Mac fan. I mean, there's a lot of really cool stuff going. Oh, I guess not.
No.
No,
but,
no.
But it's been... I was going to say, unless you had some inside news that we don't know about.
Well,
or if you had a whole lot of Apple stock.
Yeah.
Well, let's start off with that this week. I don't know if you guys read that Apple announced their quarterly results. Profits, $546 million. One point six million Macs shipped, 8.6 million iPods shipped, and over $10 billion in cash on hand.
That's a nice little war chest.
Yeah, that's 30% increase in Macs shipped. What do you guys think?
I just think that's amazing. I read a statistic that they're now saying that the Mac is up over 6% market share in the United States.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me a bit.
Well, and if you remember last year, everybody was kind of prognosticating and saying, is there really going to be a halo effect? Is it a real thing at all? And apparently...
Do you think it is a halo effect from the iPod, or do you think it's something else?
You know what? It could be one of two things. It could be a halo effect from the iPod. It could also be just people switching over to Intel Macs from their old Mac platforms.
Or just being totally fed up with all the crap that they have to put up through Windows.
Don't you think that's probably more... I mean, you know, if you've been told to eat shit for so long, and you just keep eating this Windows XP shit over and over and over, after a while you have shit breath, right?
That's true.
And you kind of want to rinse that out.
Mm-hmm. You want a little chocolate or something to wash that down, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and the nice thing is that if you have an...
Chad looked at me like, Chad looked at me like you just said shit, like, two or three times there, Tim.
Well,
stop that shit. That's what the explicit tag is for.
Oh, we got hit with that?
Yeah. Well, no, I put them on there. I mean, it's up to whoever publishes that, but we're not going to drop any F-bombs, but every now and then.
No.
Don't wreck our show, you hoser.
So go ahead, Guy.
Oh, I was, oh, God, just lost my whole train of thought.
Well, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I apologize.
Well, I am a blonde from Florida, so you know, you have to cut me some slack sometimes. No, I think the fact that Apple has the Intel Macs out now, and that if someone actually has, you know, Windows applications that they just cannot do without, those one or two applications that they can't afford to not have, well, now they can have the best of both worlds.
Do you think it would be better to run in Parallels or Boot Camp?
I would say Parallels. I think eventually we're going to get to the point on the Mac OS where it won't really matter what program that it was, you know, what OS the program was written for, that it'll just, you double-click it on the Mac and it works. And that's where we really need to get to.
Do you really want that, though? Because in a lot of respects, wouldn't that open you up to... the crap on the Windows side, the viruses that could always be running in the background?
Well, it depends on how tight the coding is.
Yeah. I don't know. Mm-hmm. That tight integration between Windows software and Mac software on the Mac platform, I don't know. I don't know if I really want it, because...
I do like the additional layer of security from having a different OS than everybody else who's getting viruses.
Yes, absolutely. So
I would agree.
What do you think is going to... Well, let me read you this feedback. I'm not going to read it word for word. I got to open up my software window. I've got too many windows. This is from Dustin. And Dustin sent an email and said, on the last podcast, you gave a small review of sorts about Vista. At the end, you say that Vista is not that bad. I'd just like to point out that 99% of the new features you talked about are strictly cosmetic and don't apply to the actual functionality of the OS. Well, I agree with him there. It doesn't, but...
Well, I mean, you pretty much were saying all along when you were talking about Vista that it was just these cool little special effects that was kind of dragging you in.
Yeah, yeah, that it was pleasant to look at.
Yeah, it was the eye candy that makes your OS X pleasant to look at.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they could have made OS X look just like classic Mac, I mean, but they didn't. They improved it. They made it, if not more user-friendly, then at least just different.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that OS X is more or less user-friendly than Mac OS 9 or 8 or 7.
Well, there are certainly things that you can say that one OS does better than the other on either side. You know, I particularly like, and you know, this probably goes against the grain of some people, I kind of like the Windows taskbar. And I think that the dock, while is certainly very, very useful, that the Windows taskbar in many ways is superior.
Dustin goes on, I'd also like to point out that the features do not work on many machines that are a year or two old. Arrow, MS versions of Expose, some functions in sidebar, taskbar previews, etc. Unless you have a gig of RAM, yes, that's standard now, but average Joe users with a few year old computers are basically getting XP. Then you point out that the wireless networks were not automatically found and connected to, like in OS X. You know, that's true. It didn't automatically.
Well, yeah, but that's also a, you know, a security release candidate feature. One.
Yeah.
Well, and it's also, I think, on a Windows platform, I don't know if you really want a Windows computer to just automatically
connect.
I mean, that's the problem. Mm-hmm. I mean...
I'm choking! Stop the madness!
The biggest problem with Windows is how they integrated Explorer within the OS, and that's what opened up the can of worms. And now Microsoft seriously has to seriously look at stability, security... All the things that I think they've basically fallen on their face in the last 8 years or so.
Mm-hmm.
So in some respects, I think not automatically joining the closest wireless network is probably a smart idea. You probably want the users to say, yes, I want to join this network. On the Mac, you can turn off that feature. It doesn't have to automatically detect and join.
Well, and you can also decline to join. It'll go out and look at it and say, here we are on this one. Do you want to join this? And you can always say no.
Correct. Right. Yeah. It's not like it's an automatic thing, unless it's a network that you've been on before.
Right. He also says, you also talk about the show desktop feature and say that it is new to Vista, which is incorrect. This was also an XP 2098. Yes, but this is a little taskbar that no matter where you're at, or a little button in the taskbar, if you click it, you're right at the desktop, and it's like immediate.
Mm-hmm.
It felt much more intuitive than any of the previous Windows versions of going to the desktop.
Right, and I didn't get to see it because I'm, you know, hundreds of miles away. But it does sound kind of like not Expose. Well, what's the other one that just makes all the windows poof off to the side?
Yeah,
what do they call that?
I can't remember right now, but it wasn't to the side.
I will look.
You mean in.
OS X?
Yes.
Oh, Expose.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's another one. You have Expose, which basically tiles all your windows, but if you hit F11, everything just kind of disappears off to the side.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, right.
There's
that
desktop.
Gets to the desktop.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mine doesn't do that anymore. I've all my F keys do different things than the way it did when I first installed OS X. I can't. You know, I get used to the way things operate, but I don't always keep it that way.
Okay, it looks like that is part of Expose.
Well,
it's not called something else.
No, well, that used to do the same thing pre 10.4 before Expose came out.
Mm-hmm.
They just put that control within Expose in 10.4, so it was always there. I mean, you could always do that, but with 10.4. They just put that control within Expose. It made more sense.
Mm-hmm. I feel like an Apple noob. I did not know that.
He said, he also continues, also you say that they started from scratch with Vista. That may be true, but other than Arrow, which it looks and acts pretty much the same, such as Tiger-inspired features, but other than that, it pretty much just a shiny or not-so-shiny version of XP. What I'm wondering is, what did you like about it enough to say that it's not that bad, while XP is that bad? Well, number one, XP is just, it's the most unsecured OS, I think, probably of all time. I think XP is probably one of the worst operating systems ever. Ever. It's just horrible. It had some nice things in it.
Mm-hmm.
But, oh, man, it all you have to do is follow the Windows news.
Yeah.
And what Microsoft is updating, and it's constantly. It's just mm-hmm. the worst. Now, some people are going to say, well, that's because hackers attacked it. Well, you know,
well, yeah,
they've been attacking the Windows platform for years and years, but they never had the success that they did until they released XP.
Mm-hmm.
But there's one other point there, is that right when XP came out, which was, what, 2001? That was really when broadband exploded as well.
Yeah.
So you had more people online with an operating system that just wasn't secure. And when they were online with just a modem, you know, it was kind of difficult probably to get that back and forth. But with a high-speed connection like that, it's like zing, it's already in there, and you don't even know it.
You know, one of the things that I think Dustin may be confusing, when I say it's not that bad, that's not necessarily a compliment. When someone mm-hmm. says, oh, that's not that bad. If you're eating something, they go, what do you think? Oh, it's not that bad. Well, yeah,
if it's the difference between it's still not saying potatoes.
It's good. Yeah.
It's still a negative mm-hmm. comment. It's not that bad.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's good. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying, wow, this is a Mac OS 10 killer. It's, come on, give me a break. It's not bad either.
Yeah, let me choose between a kick in the groin and a punch in the face.
Yeah, but if I had to, if I had to choose between Vista and XP from what I've seen mm-hmm. on a limited basis on Vista, I would probably go with Vista. In fact, I did. I erased XP and I put Vista on this machine.
And if you're strapped to a Windows platform in your work environment, XP is more pleasant to look at and work with. Or, excuse me, XP, but Vista is more pleasant to look at.
A lot better, sure.
And work with than XP is, or whatever Windows version
you have. It doesn't look like it was designed from the Crayola factory, for one.
Yeah.
I mean, but beyond that, I don't know what the security is going to be like in real-world mm-hmm. computing situations. Once 1,000 people. But if someone asked me, should I go out there and buy Vista when it's released, I would probably say no.
No, I would recommend against it.
I would mm-hmm. say if it comes on a new computer, great, then you've got it. But would I go out and spend a couple $100 for Vista? Probably not. I'm not planning on doing that. And I do need to run Windows occasionally. But I'm not going to go out and spend $200 on this. Not unless Microsoft wants to pay me I couldn't imagine what they would want to pay me for, but they'd have to pay me to get this running.
Well, is the $200 for the ultimate version of it, or is that for one of the stripped down versions?
That's the XP Plus version, basically.
Ah.
I mean, yeah. Next story is the Mac sales are growing and the iPod sales are leveling off. I don't think this is a surprise to any Mac fan. Do you guys?
No, I don't think so either. And one of the telling statistics here is, you know, they seem to hold Apple to a much higher standard than they do anybody else, because last year, or over the last couple of years, iPod sales have risen like over 30% from year to year. But, oh my God, this year it's only going to grow by 26%. Let's have a fire sale.
Are you surprised, Chad, that the iPod sales are starting to level off?
No, I don't think so. I think you're going to hit a saturation point with the iPods. I mean, you're going to have people like me who have a third-gen iPod.
You've got a fourth.
Or fourth-gen iPod, excuse me. I forgot to look at it. But are happy with it, and I am happy with it. Would it be nice to have video iPod? Yeah, it would be nice, but it's
even
not
without
a necessity.
The video, I like the color screen. Once you get used to the color screen on the iPod,
that is nice.
It is really hard to go back to the old type.
Yeah, the monochrome screen is a little old.
It's just ugly. You know?
Yeah. Well, My first iPod was a Gold Mini, and I was very, very happy with it. And I only had it for about a year, because I got it not long after it came out, when the Nanos came out. And as soon as I saw that color screen, I was like, oh, gotta have one. And I didn't feel that way when the iPod with video came out, because I was looking at them. It's like, yeah, great, video on a 2.5-inch screen. Sign me up. You know, just didn't didn't have it.
But, you know, I still don't think that the iPod with video is really the video iPod. They just added
not.
That functionality.
No.
I think it's telling that they call it the iPod with video.
Yeah, because they aren't really advertising that this thing still play. Well, yeah, I guess they are, because if you look at the packaging, there's Johnny Depp in his pirate outfit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not showing the Gorillaz CD on there anymore like they used to.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I'm not surprised, personally, that the Macs are starting to take off. People are just getting sick of XP and the crap. And do you think this reflects, though, that Apple's current crop of advertising is actually working?
I think so. I think mm-hmm. What are they calling those commercials? The Mac versus PC commercials?
Yeah, the last three have been really entertaining.
Yeah, did you see the home movie one?
Yeah, that's great.
That's great.
Oh, please, show me your home movie. I'm a PC movie. Deal with it.
You know, that's
a work in progress.
That took a lot of guts on that actor's part to come out dressed like that.
Yeah.
That was great, though.
Oh, I'm sure he got paid.
Red iPods. What do you guys think? $10 from each one goes to fight AIDS in Africa.
I've heard a lot of whining in some of the various tech sites that I go to. Oh, they're only giving $10. Well, you know, the point is that a lot of the people that are putting part of their money toward this particular this project that Bono from U2 put out is, you know, all they're doing is just raising the price of the item a little bit. And in Apple's case, they kept the price exactly the same as all the other color nanos.
Mm-hmm.
And they're taking $10 out of their own profit. And, you know, they're still making money. I'm not kidding myself. But they're donating it to a worthy cause.
How many other companies are donating $10 for every product they sell to fight AIDS in Africa?
Well, Bono has been, I mean, he's been...
They've got quite a few lined up, but I don't know what percentage of their profits they're donating from their products.
Right.
But there are several manufacturers lined up doing red goods.
I see this, and a lot of people say, oh, this is just a publicity thing on Apple's part. I really don't see it that way. I think Apple is a company in a culture with very liberal-minded viewpoints.
Mm-hmm.
And they see it as maybe, I don't know if they're
giving
their
back
duty,
a little.
But yeah, and I think that's always been important to Apple.
Well, we're one company that cares.
That's right.
Here you go. My idea. No more ribbons. Now it's iPods. So you'll have the pink iPod and the blue iPod and all the different colored iPods for the different causes.
Well, you can still kind of do the ribbon, except it's one of those nano cases that goes around your arm.
The Live Strong iPod case.
So the iPod is the new ribbon, right? I think that would be good for Apple. That, you know, oh look, he's got a red iPod. You know what that means?
Oh my gosh, he's got yellow earbuds in.
he's got a rainbow pod.
It's speaking of iPods. Did you guys read the news? A Windows virus shipped on some of the 5.5 generation iPods. It's the Raymoni virus, for Windows only, of course.
Mm-hmm.
It shipped with
the virus pre-installed.
Yeah, pre-installed. So,
well, it certainly saves
time.
It
in, and it's a worm virus. It didn't go out over over the internet, but it would infect all the computers on your home network.
Well, they're not the only one to get hit with this.
If you hooked up your iPod to a PC.
Right.
Yeah, McDonald's was giving away a bunch of MP3 players, and apparently they had a similar problem with the Trojan horse virus.
It's not really surprising. I mean, you know, the iPods are manufactured and the software's installed where? China?
Yeah, among other places.
And how strict are they over there on quality control? I think they're going to probably be a little bit more strict from this point moving forward, because this is a punch in the face of Apple, isn't it? I think it is.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's a black eye.
Tim, you had you co-wrote a book about iTunes and iPods, didn't you?
Correct, yeah.
Oh, God. Sorry, another blonde moment.
That's okay.
Welcome to my world.
You're a blonde from Florida, and we actually have a Chad here, so...
iPods are MP3 players, and iTunes is the delivery system you use to get the music off, so let's go
from there.
Can you
send that to me in an email?
Sure.
Yeah, there was a point there somewhere.
I'm sure there was.
Well, basically, you know, less than 1% shipped with this. And, oh, I remember what I wanted to ask you. Hey, I'm back. When you first plug in an iPod to a Windows machine, doesn't it wipe the internal drive?
It doesn't wipe the internal drive.
Okay, well,
it treats it just like any other removable disk, mm-hmm. removable media. Just like if you plug this is what I don't like about Windows and Windows software. The videos that I do for the airline company,
mm-hmm.
I have to load those up on a flash drive. So that means I have to boot up into Windows on my MacBook Pro to load the videos on this little flash drive. So you do that, and it automatically installs software for that flash drive. Every single time I plug in a flash drive, this crappy software jumps up from SanDisk.
Yeah, I've seen that.
What do you want to do? And it's got all this crap, and it has this little jingle tling.
And all these previews of crap. Just show me the list of files I've got. Thank you. That's all I needed to do.
Automatically installed something in my menu or my toolbar. I'm like, this is crap.
Well, this was with Windows, it did this?
Yes.
Yeah.
If someone did this with the Mac, nobody would buy it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it would get horrible reviews everywhere.
And it does this every single time?
At
what point did you start screaming at it, die, SanDisk, die?
I said, this is the last SanDisk thumb drive I'm getting, and I went and got Lexmark, and SanDisk decided that it's going to take control of the Lexmark thumb drives as well.
Yeah. I could probably delete it,
but
yeah,
I should
start digging
to.
Through the registry files.
The issue is sometimes you can't tell it no. I mean, I did that. I had someone at work bring me something on a thumb drive. It popped that stupid SanDisk thing open.
Yeah.
I closed it. It popped back open again.
Yeah, like no, I want to be in charge of this disk.
No,
it's like get away from me. I can explore and get there myself. I don't need you to help me do what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's just super annoying.
Yep.
You know, and that's just, but you know, a lot of times PC users need that level of hand-holding. We will help you get there. But give me the option of installing this piece of shit software before you just automatically throw it in my taskbar.
Yeah.
That's why they have wizards.
Yeah, it drives me crazy. And that's why I'm a Mac user.
Plus, so, it helps that you have this big website and stuff.
That goes without saying. So, did you guys read my review?
The disco case? Yeah.
Yes, I did.
I haven't given anything such a low score in a long time. And I'm sure that Griffin Technology is really not very pleased, and I'm sure they're not going to link to my review.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this is just a very bad idea.
Yeah.
A case that you have to literally shake the crap out of your iPod to make blinking lights work.
And we did talk about that a little bit on the podcast when we pulled it out.
Yeah. They could use that KC and the Sunshine Band song in their advertising. Shake, shake, shake.
It's just a really bad idea. Owen Rubin has a must-have shareware or freeware for your Mac, which I really enjoyed.
Yeah, that was good.
That was really good.
I looked through that.
What's cool is that some of the software he talked about was stuff that, you know, emulated features that he'd missed on OS 9, so...
Is there a piece of software, and we didn't plan this, they didn't have any preparation, but I'll start with you, Guy. Is there a piece of software that's not, you know, Photoshop or iTunes or something like that, that has followed you from machine to machine, that when you get a new machine, that's one of the things that you... Within a week, you go, oh, I don't have such and such program, boom, I have to go get it.
Boy, that's... That's kind of tough. I'll skip it to you, Chad.
Well, really the one thing that I have to have is Microsoft Office Suite.
Yeah.
I at least have to have Word, Excel, and PowerPoint. Entourage, I could take it or leave it. I've got there's plenty of good mail apps out there, but I need those three just to work at home.
I use Text Wrangler quite a bit. That always seems to follow me. For a long time, Fetch was my FTP program, and I wrote in my review about Interarchy that Fetch was the one program that always would follow me, but that's been replaced. But Fetch for a long time was, I had to have Fetch.
Mm-hmm.
There really isn't, I try so many different pieces of software.
I'm constantly changing.
Yeah, FileMaker is something that...
You've been running FileMaker forever.
Oh, right, but that's the one software that no matter what machine I'm on, I have to have FileMaker on there, always.
Well, the oddly enough, the actually, I guess it's probably not so odd. The one program that's kind of followed me from machine to machine for a while is a little game called Chopper, which is a side-scroller helicopter game. And that seems to have followed me around quite a bit. There are quite a few games from the OS 9 days that just don't work anymore in OS X, and no one's ever updated them. So
there's a lot of games like that, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was a game, I can't remember who made it. It was called Driver.
Yeah.
That was just a lot of fun. Also, Carmageddon.
Yeah, I think that's probably better on a console than it is on a computer.
Mm.
But, you know, that's the problem. The consoles that are out there now and that are coming up next month, you know, the Wii and the PS3, and,
yeah,
of course, Xbox 360 has been out for a year now, they are much more suited to play most types of games.
I would agree. And with all the live services coming on for them, you know, I mean, why would you want to play a game on a PC?
Yeah.
You know, it just makes more sense to me that most game developers are going to concentrate on the much larger market of console games now.
But I still think the PC platform is a good platform for certain games. There are certain slower-paced games, real-time strategy games, I'm thinking of turn-based strategy games, that probably still play out a little bit better on a PC than they would.
I wouldn't want to play like Warcraft 2 on a console game.
No.
You would probably have a mouse.
Right. It'd be much easier to save those types of games than it is to do on a console.
Now, first-person shooters are easier on a PC.
Yeah.
Because if you play Halo, if you're on an Xbox with the Xbox controller and you're playing Halo against a PC or a Mac user with a mouse, the PC owner and the Mac user is going to own your ass. Because you can just aim perfectly.
The precision you get with the mouse,
It's no comparison. It really isn't. So, but, you know, I don't play games anymore on my Mac. I really don't. The only game that I have on every Mac that I own is MacMain. You know, because occasionally I just have to play Burger Time.
Yeah.
I have to do it. You know, every now and then it's like, I want to see if I can get to that last maze in Ms. Pac-Man.
Yeah, I'm still waiting for Berserk.
I've got Berserk on MacMame.
Oh, really? Humanoid.
Humanoid.
Stop the intruder.
I love that game.
But, yeah, I love it. Speaking of software, I've been complaining since I got this MacBook Pro that it's too hot.
Mm-hmm.
That I can't keep it on my lap. That it just, it's like, man, this is just not healthy. I don't care what anybody says. A laptop should not get that frickin' hot.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a software developer by the name of Hendrik Holtman has created, which is a little piece of software that is called SMC Fan Control. It's called SMC Fan Control, and I've got version 1.2 running. And it's a very simple application. All it does is allow you to adjust the speed of your internal fans.
Hmm.
Now, how loud are the fans on the MacBooks and the MacBook Pros?
When I crank them up, it gets a little bit loud. Not prohibitively, but
we'll see if we can pick it up with the mic.
Well, I'm not going to crank them up too high.
No.
I've noticed if I leave it at about 3,035 RPM.
Mm-hmm.
My MacBook stays cool enough that I can keep it in my lap much longer than I had before, and it's not so loud that it becomes a distraction. I've been running my MacBook Pro right now for, I don't know, a good 20 minutes since we've been here,
mm-hmm.
and it keeps fluctuating between 96 degrees Fahrenheit to about 100 degrees Fahrenheit. Before, it was sitting
now, how much
right
of that is transferred to the bottom of the case where it sits on your lap?
Oh, just a ton of it. I mean, it just gets way too hot. But before I ran the software, it was consistently up around 145, which is just way too hot.
Mm-hmm.
You got kids already, right?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Just checking.
Well, that's Chad and I had kind of joked about that before, that, you know, self-sterilization machine is what they should be called. But if you've got a MacBook or a MacBook Pro, this might be something to look at. If it's just too hot, you need to use it. You need to have it in your lap. You know, I'll be honest, though. It would get so hot sometimes that I couldn't keep my hands on the palm rest on this computer. I was like, man, my palms are starting to sweat, and it's literally, I feel like if I left it there too long, it would start blistering.
Hmm.
Ever since the heat was bad.
Well, so I mean, it's not just on the bottom. It's also
being transmitted
through the top.
Yep, right underneath the screen where the hinge is,
mm-hmm.
Right around both sides of the speakers. It would just, the whole machine would just get hot. But ever since
too bad you can't use it from another room.
Yeah, that would be nice. ever since I started using SMC fan control, haven't had a problem. It just like that. That's how fast it cured it.
Now, is that freeware or shareware? Or?
Freeware. It's absolutely free. So if I remember, I'll put a note in the show notes.
Good, I'm looking it up.
But if not, just, you know, if you're listening to this, Google one word, SMC fan control, and you'll find it. I found it through the unofficial Apple weblog. I saw a link there, and I thought, well, you know, these kind of things, I don't really want to mess with it. So I kind of ignored it for a while, but then my laptop started getting hot, and I said, you know what, I'm going to try it. Worst case scenario, I burn up the laptop. I'll just delete the software and send it back to Apple and say, I don't know what happened. It's burned up.
Smoke joy.
Speaking of burning up, you hear that Sony has now also recalled a bunch of their laptops using their own batteries.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's about time.
In some respects, I kind of feel sorry for Sony because they just can't seem to get anything right lately.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a quality control issue. Sony used to be known for high quality control.
Mm-hmm.
They need to do a lot of work to start getting some people's respect back, I think.
Well, they'll make it back. I mean, think about some of the stuff Apple was putting out 10 years ago.
This is true. You know,
they almost died because of some of the just crap that they were putting out.
Well,
and they fought their way back.
And right now we're just talking about Sony computer electronics, which is really a small portion of their market. I mean, they do a lot of other electronics as well. They do TVs very well. They do DVD players, blah, 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 blah. PlayStation.
The PS2 is really the big breadwinner for Sony.
Yeah.
I mean, that's entertainment is finally, Sony's big thing. And
are they finally making a profit on each one of them?
Yeah, I think they are now. But more importantly, when the PS3 comes out, the future of Sony is really at stake. If the PS3 bombs, if they have huge quality control issues with the PS3 early on, Sony could really be in trouble. They really could be.
Well, and Microsoft did do a good job, even though they took a few lumps up front with the 360 and some of the 360 problems. Mm-hmm. The fact is they got into the market a year ahead of everybody else. So.
Yep.
And really, Nintendo isn't even getting in that market. They're still working with the same processor, more or less, and the same technology. The only thing they're adding is the different controls, but graphics-wise, they're working off the same platform pretty much.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, they're still going to sell a bunch of them because it's going to be half the price of the other two consoles.
That's right.
And the best part for Nintendo is they're making a profit on every single machine from the day it's released.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and that's going to be huge. But, you know, Nintendo's always been the biggest game supplier for their own system.
Right.
Certainly.
You know, that's not true with Sony.
Yeah, Sony doesn't do anything. Well, they do have some,
but
it's not.
But what sold the PS2? Grand Theft Auto.
Right.
You know, what sold the Xbox was Halo.
Halo. But that was the first person. Microsoft made Halo. Well, Bungie did. But
sort of. They bought the company that made Halo. Yeah.
Do you know that?
I like it so much, I bought the company.
You know that originally Halo was scheduled to be a Mac program?
Yep.
Wasn't that Macworld 2000 or 2001 that they had announced it and like showed some screenshots from it?
I want to say it was New York 98.
I think it was because I remember buying the Myth Total Codex pack, which is Myth 1 and 2, and then inside of that was the trailer for Halo and the trailer for Oni, which I never knew what happened to Oni, but obviously
they came out. It got mixed reviews.
It bombed.
But
it was an awful game.
It didn't. I won't say it was awful. It just didn't sell all that good. I mean, at the time when it came out, there was much better games for it, but it didn't feel like a Bungie game.
Mm-hmm.
It really didn't. I think what happened was they were really concentrating on Halo. So,
right.
Myth was great. I loved Myth.
Yep. Kevin Reeves.
Myth is as good as a mile.
Kevin Reeves, the guy who does our
theme
intro,
music.
Yep. Our theme music. Completely written from scratch just for us. That's why we love it so much.
Mm-hmm.
Plus it rocks.
Yep.
Has got his music now, an album up in iTunes.
And ooh, I went and purchased it already.
Did you purchase it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, send me a link for that, Tim.
If I remember, I'll put a link in the show notes.
Yeah, the name of the album is It's About Time. It's Kevin Reeves, although the review they post up there in iTunes
is for somebody else.
Julia Reeves.
Yeah, you know, that was a screw-up.
Whose sultry country voice, which is like no.
I know, I had to listen to, I want to make sure what I'm buying. Yeah. This is actually Kevin, and it is.
Was it strictly instrumental, or is there some
song?
No.
It's jamming.
He's got a great voice.
He does. So
how's the song content?
Oh, I like it. I think it's good. I like it
I
a
mean,
lot.
I think when we talked to him, he said it's a little bit Queenish, a little bit 70s, 80s sort of rock. And
I would agree with that.
And I would agree with that. It is. And there are a couple songs that just like, it is kind of Queenish on this, you know, but I liked it.
Yeah.
So.
He's got one song that's kind of bluesy that I really kind of enjoy, too. And if Shine is on there, and that, I think that's probably my favorite song on there, only because I already know it really well.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so if you enjoy our theme music and you want to hear more, that's actually much better than our theme music.
Yeah.
just do an iTunes search for Kevin Reeves, R-E-E-V-E-S.
And the
buy
sound,
it. It's only $10.
That's right. And the sound engineer on that was Slough, who was also on our podcast.
Yeah, we've had Kevin on, we've had Slough on, and you will actually be supporting a really nice person.
Yep.
And indirectly helping the Mac platform, because Kevin's a Mac user. The entire album was remastered on a Mac. I mean, this is a Mac user's album. Go buy it. You're supporting us. So, you know, there's been a lot of rumors going around this week, and I know how much Guy is just dying to talk about the iPhone.
rumors. Yeah, there was some stuff on there about, more people just basically can't get enough of rumors about the iPhone. Some of the stuff they talk about, and of course, none of it is based on anything that Apple has said or done. You know, there's a couple of little things in iTunes that has that mentioned. Oh, did you catch them?
No, I just hit the wrong button, is all.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Some of the things in this one particular article I was reading, they were talking about Wi-Fi capability, seamless integration with the iLife programs. You know, like, what would be the point of that? Ooh, I can take my iMovie projects and put it on my phone. And then do what with it? You know, some other things were like multi-touch screens and integrated digital camera and mobile video chat. And I don't get it. You know, you got somebody that's in a car or on a plane or on a subway, and they're talking to a whole conference room filled with people at this meeting, and all you see is the guy's head jerking back and forth as he's trying to hold on to it. And, you know, pretty soon the whole room erupts into seasickness. So, you know, I can't see how that would really be a selling point.
Well, imagine how bad driving's going to be with, you know.
Oh, my God. If it was hard enough to talk
video
to
phones,
people.
Yeah.
Well, let me primp while I'm on my phone doing 70 miles an hour. You know, you can basically, we'll get lots of great clips on America's Funniest Home Videos, I'm sure.
There's a lot of people who want to see an iPhone.
Oh, yeah.
I would love to see one, because I have a Samsung that's an absolute piece of crap. Of course, it's a toss-up whether it's the phone or my service.
Well, you know, every time I buy a new cell phone, I love it for about 2 weeks. But then the more I use it, the more I go, this is just a piece of crap. It really is. And it's like, you know, if this is the best they can do, why bother?
Yeah,
you know,
but
that's
the point, is that it's not the best they can do. There's a lot of phones out there.
No, I think it is the best they can do.
We as American consumers don't see a lot of the phones that are created over in Asia. You know,
yes.
I mean, with the people that I work with, you know, they spend a lot of time overseas, and some of the guys come back with new phones. And I look at these phones, and it's like, well, where'd you get that? And you're like, well, I got that in Hong Kong, or I got that in Singapore. And it's like, where can I get one? And they laugh at me. They laugh at me. And they say, you can't have one, Guy. And it's just not fair. It's not fair. Well, we were talking earlier about the red iPod. And another rumor going around is that Apple could possibly expand this program and have red MacBooks and red iMacs.
Really?
Yeah. Could you imagine having a red MacBook? I mean, just,
you aren't trying to flip some not Mac news piece by me right out now, are you?
Oh my God, no! I'm serious. I'm serious. No, if it was going to be not Mac news, I'd have my announcer voice on. But, you know, this was something that I actually did read, and, you know, and it would kind of make sense in a way, because, you know, Apple could possibly charge a slight premium above their mm-hmm. normal selling price for something like this and give the balance to the Red charity.
Yeah. I think it's a great idea if they want to do it, if they're going to put it towards this program, and if they're willing to flip them a little more than $10 for the sale of any MacBook or iMac. But
do you think that the domination and how much they're actually giving really makes that much of a difference?
No, I think some people would buy it just so they could have a Red MacBook or iMac.
Yeah, there would be an element of originality to it.
Yes. I don't know. It depends on the type of the, not just the color, but the finish of the color. Mm-hmm. For instance, if it was just like a shiny red, I'm not interested in that. But if it's kind of a matte red, that would be cool.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the finish on a MacBook Pro, but red.
Yeah.
That would be nice.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want to see shiny red. Shiny red looks cheap to me.
You don't want to see shiny Apple red?
No. I don't know.
We'll see.
They could call it Red Delicious.
There you go.
I don't know. Would either one of you actually be interested in a Red Mac?
No.
I would.
Not me.
Maybe not the MacBook, but I think having a Red iMac would just kind of look cool.
I would feel like I was carrying around a designer purse unless I had it in some sort of a sleeve or carrying case.
You think so?
Well, if you were going to put it in a sleeve, what would be the point in spending more money for it?
That's right.
Exactly. Yeah, I think that's the point. What about a home machine?
Well, that's what I was saying. I would love to have a Red iMac. I think that would look just so cool here. Well, it would be surrounded by all the other crap I have here on my desk, but that's a different story.
I think a lot of that goes to the fact that, personally, I believe Apple really needs to...
update the look?
Update mm-hmm. the physical look of all of their machines. The Mac Mini, I think, is a boring looking computer now. They need to do something with that form factor to make it more appealing. The Mac Pros look exactly like the G5s, which are just boring.
They updated the MacBook a little bit.
Yes, the MacBook isn't quite a Mac or an iBook.
It
is different. Most notably, the keyboard.
Yes, mm-hmm.
But from a distance. From a good 10 feet away,
it still looks like an
iBook. The MacBook Pro looks exactly like a PowerBook G4 because I have both, and unless I look closely at it, I can't tell the difference, especially if the lid's closed. Mm-hmm. In the dark, I can tell the difference because the MacBook Pro, the keyboards light up, and I go,
"Oh yeah,
that's cool."
Which it is cool.
Well, do you think they need to update the Mac Pros?
Yes, I do. It's a boring design.
Maybe keep the interior design and just make the case a little different?
I don't know.
So I think the interior design is brilliant.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's just building upon what worked really well for the, excuse me, in the MacBook Pro, or in the Power Mac G5.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But because the Intel chip uses so much less power, thus it generating so much less... Well, it generates much less heat that they don't need
all the fan space.
50%. They don't need 9 fans just to cool this thing down, plus a liquid cooling.
Right.
Yeah. So that allowed Apple to put more stuff in there that you could put in 4 internal drives, which are very easy to install.
Right. Now, is the dimensions exactly the same as the G5?
It is the same outside, stinking yes. case, yeah.
Yes. You have more USB in the back. You have 2 optical disc trays, which I've got a question about. If I've got a CD, well, what are you going to have? 2 DVD burners right now. That's pretty much it, right?
Yeah.
2 super drives. Yeah. Until unless Blu-ray and HD DVD come out, we're stuck with that. What happens, let's say, though, I have 2 discs, right? Mm-hmm, I have 2 super drives. What happens when I hit my eject key? Which one opens?
The machine will just vomit all over you.
I think that's a viable question. If I have 2 optical drives and I hit the eject key,
they may both open.
Unless you have to assign a hotkey to the other one, like a function key or a control eject or something.
Because this is how I see it, you know. It would, what if it alternated? But then you'd really be screwed up because you hit it once and the top tray pops open, right? So you put in your blank disk and you hit eject key to close it. So it closes, but the bottom one opens. So then you hit eject again to close that one, and it closes, but now the top one opens again. Yeah. You're like, ah, help me!
Well, there are people out there. There are people out there that have Mac Pros.
There's people going,
they should do is call the MyMac.com line, which is
1-801-938-5559, and tell us what they do, if they even have a second drive installed.
What I'm assuming is the second drive doesn't do anything as far as an eject key. It doesn't open. Well, no, it'd have to because it doesn't have a button on it.
How are you
going to
get media into it? Yeah.
Well, not only is there not a button, but there's nothing in the Finder. Unless there's some kind of, unless there's a disk in there, you're not even going to see it in the Finder.
No. So how would you, you have to have a keyboard.
There has
to
be a second hotkey that you assign.
But what you can't use, you know, F11, as you know, we were just talking about that earlier, that gets you to the desktop.
Mm-hmm.
What's F14 do? That's screen brightness, right? F15 is to make it brighter. Oh, I didn't realize you had your screen down. Did you know that?
Oh, yeah.
F18.
Well, let's go to Apple, and I'll see what I can find.
F16 doesn't seem to do anything, at least on your machine.
Mm-hmm. I haven't assigned it to
anything. I really want to know how you get, or does it automatically, if you put one in there, does it automatically assign an F key for it? Or if you hit the eject key, does it come up and say, which tray would you like? Which wouldn't be too bad if you think
might
about
do that,
it. If it popped up kind of like a dashboard widget, and all
I
it
have
showed...
the answer.
Top of the bottom.
I have the answer.
What's the answer?
Option plus eject.
And that opens the other one.
That opens the other one.
So, you know, everybody likes to talk history. You know, what was it like back in this day or that day, and... I thought it might be a little fun to talk about our first online experience. And it probably wasn't the internet, per se, for most people of our age group.
Yeah.
So, what was your first online experience?
Actually, you know what? I came in so late that I think my first service provider was AT&T.com.
Really?
Until they got bought out by Comcast. Well,
You had the DSL?
I did. Well,
no,
cable, yeah.
Oh, your cable was provided by AT&T?
Yeah. I was here in Battle Creek, Michigan was, yeah. And then it was,
and they got bought
actually
out by
before
Comcast.
That it was Excite, and then they got bought out by AT&T, and then AT&T got bought out by Comcast. Wasn't there somebody between Comcast and AT&T, though? Seems like there was.
No, it went to Comcast.
And, yeah. And,
all I remember is the guy that came to hook up my cable was a contractor, and he was like, Billy Joe Bob's pickup truck with his kid.
Clueless.
Mac, I don't know how to do these Macintosh things.
Oh, my. Is that even a computer?
I don't know if that will even connect.
Yeah, exactly.
What about you?
I think the internet is Windows only.
Yeah. What was your first online experience, Guy?
Oh, mine goes pretty far back. I actually got online the first time because of an offer of a free modem. If you guys remember Prodigy, it was IBM and Sears, and I think there was somebody else in there too, but they were giving away a blazingly fast 2400 baud modem if you signed up for their service. And I went ahead and signed up. I think I was with them for about 2 months because it was just an awful experience. Yeah, every time you'd go online, all you'd have is like page after page and window after window of Sears ads. And it's like, please, you know, I just want to check my email, if anybody even knew I was there. And I ended up using that modem, and this was on a Mac Plus. I ended up using that modem when I first went over to AOL. But it was just awful.
Mine was a combination of three different online servers. The very first one was America Online. And that was because it was pre-installed on the Performa 410 that I was using. And I just clicked it one day, and AOL popped up. And this is way back in the day. I mean, this was the
Well, that was the old pizza box one,
yeah.
Wasn't it?
Well, no, it wasn't a pizza.
It was kind of the same as the LC2s.
Yeah, but it wasn't a pizza box, though. It was slim, but it wasn't wide like a pizza box. And so I went on to AOL, and of course you had to have a credit card number.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't like that. I was really nervous about giving my computer my credit card number out over the computer. It just didn't seem right to me.
Safe.
Yeah. Yeah.
What was your screen name?
DS9. DS9.
Ah,
which
I've
which
seen
I,
it
yeah,
somewhere.
I still use that. So I signed on, and I didn't see the big deal at first. And then I got into a chat room, and I was chatting with someone. My wife and I, my ex-wife now, was sitting there, and it was somebody in another country that we started talking back and forth. And my wife said, "This is the coolest thing ever. We're talking to someone on the other side of the planet." And I said, "You think that's pretty cool?" She goes, "Yeah, don't you?" And I said, "No, we've had telephones for 50 years, and it's a lot easier to talk via voice than..." She's like, "Yeah, but this is somebody we don't even know." I was like, "Again, telephone, dial the wrong number."
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What was it? There was a couple of movies out there where you see the little kid just pick up the phone and start randomly hitting numbers, and then when the parents show up 2 hours later, you have somebody from Australia going, "Hello, hello."
Yeah. So we AOL was the first, and that was the first application that I was using that actually crashed my Mac. The whole Mac locked up, freaked me out.
Was that System 7?
Yes. 7.1.
Ah.
P, I believe. 7.1P, which was just a special... You got Claire's Works and Quicken or something like that.
Well, that kind of harkens back to like the only difference between a lot of these performas, the Quadras and
software package. Yeah,
and the Centrises was the software package.
It was AOL, but almost immediately I also signed up for eWorld because I heard that was for just Mac users,
right?
And that was very appealing to me. And the difference between AOL and eWorld at the time was night and day. eWorld, the people were so much more friendly. Everybody was helpful. If you had a problem and you posted your problem or your question, it was answered immediately.
Mm-hmm.
It truly was. It wasn't just the design, because AOL software was, and eWorld software was basically the same thing.
It was the same thing.
Yeah, well,
it?
Apple helped build the AOL software originally, because originally, the AOL was Mac only as well. And I really fell in love with eWorld, but it was more expensive. It was a couple more bucks a month. And it was much more restrictive. And I also joined what was called the Great Lakes Freenet, which was a first-class BBS server here in West Michigan. And my first was all three of them, kind of. So they all kind of meshed together in my memory. But I met a lot of people. Not just because of MyMac.com, but...
Through eWorld?
Well, mostly from the Great Lakes Freenet at the time. For instance, my current wife.
Yeah.
We met because of the Great Lakes Freenet. I've told that story before on the podcast, I think. You know, that she read my profile and sent me a nasty email, and that's all she wrote.
What do you mean by nasty?
Well, I was living, at the time, I was living in Springfield, Michigan. And Springfield is a city that's completely surrounded by Battle Creek. It's very odd.
Yeah.
No matter which direction you go on Springfield, eventually you're going to hit Battle Creek. And so in my profile, if you double-click my name, you can, you know, whatever you write about yourself, that they'll learn something about you. So I had posted a message in some forum. She read it and clicked my name to see who I was. And in my profile, I put, I live in Springfield, and then I put, well, in parentheses, I put, well, in Battle Creek, what's the difference?
Mm-hmm.
Well, she was a Springfield girl. So she took offense to that. So she sent me an email, there is a difference between Springfield and Battle Creek, blah, 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 blah. And that's how it started. I emailed her back, and we started chatting and eventually, you know, exchanging emails, and eventually that led to a phone call that lasted like 4 hours the first time we talked. And
wow.
And here we are, married.
Yep.
And playing on stand that way.
Yeah.
But
it's so much cheaper.
You know, it was funny. At the time, I had said, I don't want to meet any women online.
Online.
Yeah, because back then, that was a big don't meet anybody, don't agree to meet anybody that you talk to online. You remember that big scare?
Oh, yeah.
The big scare was...
Well, it's still going on now.
Well, not as much, though. I mean, you've got these dating services that are set up online. I mean, you know.
Oh, yeah.
But at the time, it was that was the huge scare. You could meet a mass murderer online, and they will kill you. I don't know how accurate that was. I mean, how many bad things really happened because someone met online? Consenting adults.
Kind of like somebody taking out your kidneys and then dumping you into a
bathtub full of ice. Yeah.
Yeah, you have 4 hours to get to the hospital or you're going to die. But yeah, I always said I'm not going to be anybody online because it seemed artificial to me. It didn't feel like that's the way you should meet someone. I wasn't into the whole bar scene at that point either because I was just coming off a bad relationship, bad marriage, and really wasn't even looking for anybody. But that's how I met my wife. I kind of broke all the rules, self-imposed rules,
right?
And met her in person, and the rest is history, I suppose. But yeah, you know, it's everybody has a start where they started out online, what you did, how slow it was. Of course, for you, Chad, you started with a cable modem in your home, so you never had to go through the dial-up thing too much.
No, I did a little bit at first. I mean, once in a while, I'd try to dial in.
Well, how fast was your modem, Tim?
2400 baud. Yep.
Oh, yeah, okay. I feel your pain.
Did you ever go through the BBS hunts where you would find Mac-only BBSs that, like in Chicago or San Francisco, that you would dial into? Did you ever go?
No, I stayed away from that because, you know, I was out of the country quite a bit at the time, so typically when I'd come back, it would be like fired up and look at it and go, ooh, look, things are different now. And then, oh, got to go on another trip. And zing, I'd be gone again.
Well, Chad won't remember this, but you might. Do you remember the terminal program Z-Term?
Oh, yeah.
That's what I would use because you could use that as a dialer and a communicator. I would use Z-Term to literally dial into these Chicago area BBSs or San Francisco. I think there was one in Austin.
Right, but you're paying for those long distance charges.
Yeah, but it wasn't too much more expensive than using AOL because at the time, if you went 5 hours over on AOL, $2.99 an hour would kick in, and it would kill you.
Because I think originally AOL gave you like 3 hours a month.
Yep.
Especially considering you're on a 2400 baud modem, so you know that 3 hours would basically say, okay, I've got 4 pieces of mail. All right, well, I'll just set this to download it, and I'll be back in about 3 hours.
I remember when AOL had the feature that you could tell your Mac, or the AOL software, to dial in, get your mail, and then get offline.
And have it waiting for you.
And it would get offline, and that was a big deal. Ooh, that's such a time saver. Well, not really, but, you know, at least you weren't sitting there while it did it. Nowadays, you just, you know, your email program is running and you don't even think about it. Mm-hmm. When someone sends you an email, boom, you've got it.
Yeah.
But at the time, it took forever, you know, that you've got mail was a big deal back then. Now, of course, that would be the first thing you would turn off. You're like, ugh, I don't hear that. But, yeah, so I would dial into all these different BBS servers. There was text-based games that I would play.
Mm-hmm.
Not too much. I didn't get into them too often. But what was really great is the diverse selection of software that you really couldn't find anywhere else.
It was really the start of the whole, you know, shareware, freeware market was all the stuff you could find online because so much of it was only available locally to whoever created it.
Yeah, and user groups were big at the time because you would swap software. You know, someone would find a really cool program online. And he would put it on, you know, 10 floppies and give them away at the meetings. I remember doing that.
Yep.
So in some respects, the sense of community that we had with eWorld and the different BBS systems of the time has been lost.
And the user groups,
absolutely, has been lost.
Yeah.
And
everything is very much more anonymous now.
And it seems much more cynical, I think.
Hmm.
You know, when you allow people to post anonymously, for some reason, it seems like the worst behavior is what comes out of people.
Comes right out.
Yeah.
You know, and back then, there was no anonymous posting. Everybody knew who you were.
Mm-hmm.
And where you lived.
Yeah, and everybody was polite, and everybody was helpful. And there was a sense of sharing, not illegal software, but just sharing of knowledge, sharing of ideas. That seems to have really been lost. You know,
it has been.
I've had people email me in the past, readers of MyMac.com, saying it would be cool for a website to try to recapture that community. I don't think it will ever happen. I think it's just gone. That's yeah. just the way it is. But
well, because there's no way to filter out the crap, and there are so many people out there that take advantage of an open system like that. You know, I mean, it's part of the reason why. I mean, you all have gone to geek.com, right?
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
But it's part of the reason why I don't really go there anymore. Is that anytime you go into a Mac subject, it's filled with these morons that are just putting out the same FUD that they've put out for the last 10 years.
Are you talking about geek.com or Dig?
Well, geek.com.
It's the same thing with Dig. There's a
well, it is this. It is kind of the same thing with Dig, but you have to register. So if somebody's getting like really out of hand, you have someone to complain to, and you can be held accountable for the things that you're saying online. Whereas with Geek.com, it was all anonymous, and so you know whatever screen name you could have 40,000 different screen names and fill up a whole topic with your crap.
I know there's a lot of people that used to post comments at MyMac.com. That don't anymore because we turned off anonymous postings. And it wasn't because people were getting rude, although that was kind of a problem at times, but it was because we were getting hit by spam bots. Even if we weren't, I don't know if I'd really want anonymous postings to return simply because, you know, I want it to be civil.
Mm-hmm.
If you disagree with someone, that's one thing. But, you know, I read the comments that, like, when we get a hit from Dig, someone posts something that at mymac.com that gets digged and gets on the main page and, you know, 400 comments pop up.
Mm-hmm.
I used to go and read the comments. I don't anymore.
Yeah.
Because for the most part, the people that are posting comments are jackasses.
Yeah.
Yep.
And it's, well, I would it's agree. Like, you know what? Why am I bothering to read this? This person isn't saying anything constructive. He's not furthering any kind of a conversation. He's just being...
Nope. Negative.
An asshole.
An ass. Sorry. Yeah, exactly.
Sorry.
You know, and it's like... Might
have to put a beep on
it. Yeah, okay. It's just like, you know what? I just don't even want to deal with that. Oh, you guys are just sucky Mac fanboys.
Yeah, yeah. You get a lot of that. You guys are sheep. It's like, okay, well, you know, who's the sheep here? You know, you guys have 95% of the market. Who's the sheep?
I think the sheep would be the ones that would follow everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know, but... That's neither here nor there. It's sad that the Mac community isn't quite what it was in the bulletin board or early AOL eWorld days, nor is it the same as it was even 5 years ago where when you had...
Broadband wasn't quite so prevalent.
Well, not just that, but the Mac web was really host to some really great writing. A lot of the popular Mac websites right now that have these little short stories every day are kind of these little smarmy... commentators that are writing these that they seem to be writing because they're so clever. Mm-hmm. Oh, look, I'm being smarmy now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It seems like they want to kind of degrade everything except for...
what they like.
Yeah, yeah. You know, where they always have to have some smart-ass remark about Microsoft. Well, I'm a Mac fanboy, so I have to be smarmy about Microsoft. Well, you know what? No, you don't. You know, I'm not saying give us dry news, but... You know, not every website needs to be the frickin' Daily Show in print.
Well,
I'm usually somewhat swarmy in my columns, but the only one I'm usually insulting is myself.
There's a difference between being that way and being intelligent about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Well, thank you. Oh, were you talking to me?
You know, I don't know. It's a personal rant, but I just kind of wish people would be a little bit more civil. And understand that not everybody that disagrees with you, be it your computer platform or your political beliefs, just because they don't agree with you doesn't make them wrong or stupid.
Right.
Well, if you think it's bad in the, you know, we were talking about a certain product earlier. If you think it's bad in the Mac versus PC, have you ever gone into any of the Dig stories where it's PlayStation 2 versus Xbox?
Yeah, you know what gets me about that? Obviously, I've got opinions on that because I'm pretty big into video games.
Right.
But I plan on owning... Well, I already own an Xbox 360. I plan on buying a Wii the first week it comes out. I want one, and I think the kids will enjoy it.
Yeah,
sure.
I'm going to buy a PlayStation 3. I'm going to wait till some decent games come out, and the price maybe comes down a little bit, or I can afford it because
please,
you know, that's going to be an expensive system. Yeah. I don't think it has to be a, you know... Microsoft versus Sony versus Nintendo. I plan on buying all of them.
There's plenty of room for everybody.
Oh, yeah.
There's plenty of room for everybody. Yeah. And that's the problem is that people, you know, the first thing that they buy, well, if you don't have that, you're an idiot. And it's like, you know, come on, man. You know, it's just a game. It's just a computer. It's just an operating system. You know, get over it.
But by the same token, we are a Mac-centric website, and we keep saying Windows right. sucks because it does. But that doesn't mean the people that use it are idiots.
Right.
But at the same time, when we say Windows sucks, you know, we're being a little more specific. We're not just saying...
Well, we're not saying, you know, Microsoft sucks, because there's a lot... I love the Xbox 360. I think Microsoft's done a great job. Halo is a fantastic game.
Mm-hmm.
Microsoft Office, for the most part, is
it's the
outstanding
standard.
Office suite of software. Mm-hmm. I didn't particularly like that mouse and keyboard, the wireless one.
Yeah.
But Chad did.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of things that Microsoft does right. Their OS strategy is wrong. So we don't bash Microsoft. We bash Windows. There's mm-hmm. a big difference.
Right.
There's a huge difference.
But we bash Windows based on its security problems, not so much its usability, because it is very usable.
No, I would, you know, yes and no, because if you go back to the SanDisk problem that we had earlier, that ties right back into...
But that's kind of a security issue, though. Because of those holes, it allows SanDisk to do that.
But that's a usability as well, because it's that way because they were allowed to install
to
without
like
prior notice, you know. And it's, you know... It comes from experience of using Windows XP. You know, Windows NT was a very good operating system. I'll say that for what it was designed to do, Windows NT did a great job.
Mm-hmm.
Windows XP is just horrible, you know. And I won't say that every version of the Mac OS has been perfect. It's usually...
7.5.
You know, the 7.5 wasn't that bad. It was an improvement over 7.1, especially if you were on a PowerPC at the time. Because they had just come out.
I was still on a Performa 575.
Yeah, so you didn't see the performance benefits that you got in 7.5 over 7.1.
No.
Had you been on, say, an 8100, you would have seen some performance increases. Because in 7.5...
Well, what was,
go ahead.
What was the first OS you used from Apple?
The first one I used or the first one I actually owned?
Well, the first one you used. The
original Macintosh.
Really?
Same here.
Yep.
The first one I ever saw or used from Apple, my brother-in-law actually had a Lisa in 83. God knows where he got the money for it, but he had a Lisa. And that was like my first experience with Apple, but it wasn't until I got the Mac Plus in 87 that I actually got into I could afford to get into the platform, and that was running System 6.04.
With that, we're going to end the podcast. We want to thank smalldog.com for sponsoring this
thank
podcast.
Thank you, Smalldog.
We want to thank InnoTech.com, InnoTech.com, for hosting our website and our podcast.
We're always looking for feedback, whether you agree, disagree, or impartial to what our views are. Send us some feedback. Chad, what's the phone number they could call?
You can leave us a message at our Skype number. It's 1-801-938-5559.
Adam Raymer will give the email address at the end of the show, and you can reach me at tim@mymac. Chad would be chadperry@mymac.com.
And Guy, you would be?
I would be notmacnews@gmail.com.
We got another podcast coming up the beginning of next week, mini number 12. I'm looking forward to that. I know Guy will be on it because I've already got his segment.
Cool.
Well,
yeah, I think you've got the next two from me.
Just one right now because we just used one. And we've got part three of our conversation from the hotel room that we'll be playing on the show. And other than that, make sure you keep an eye at mymac.com for new content.
Great new content.
That's right. Thanks for listening, everybody. We really appreciate it. Hope to hear from you soon.
See ya.
Bye.
Just think about it. Our whole world is sitting there on a computer. It's in the computer. Everything. It's all right there. Everyone is stored, and there's like this little electronic shadow on each and every one of us just begging for somebody to screw with.
Don't wreck our show, you hoser. Thanks for downloading the MyMac.com podcast. You can subscribe to this podcast at our RSS feed at MyMac.com or by visiting the iTunes Music Store's podcast section. Please send all feedback to MyMacPodcast@gmail.com. And thanks for listening to the MyMac.com podcast.